welcome to episode 31 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Sandy, and this week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Amy, Robin, Elizabeth, and Lindsay. And we are also joined by a special guest, Elizabeth's husband, Chris.
Yay!
Yay.
And there was much rejoicing.
So the new Quantum class from Royal Caribbean takes cruising to a whole new level with the most technologically advanced ships at sea. The Anthem of the Seas is currently cruising around Europe and will be moving to Cape Liberty starting in November. She is replacing the Quantum, which is sailing out of Cape Liberty until May. She's now traversing the globe to settle into her new home in China. Elizabeth and her family were on board for her last U.S. itinerary before she set off to the east. So let's talk about this class of ship and what it has to offer. So tell me about the technology. You say technologically advanced. Is this?
Yeah, it's actually, so we've sailed many, many times. And the first thing that's very noticeable technology-wise is the interior staterooms have a virtual balcony. And, we were in a real balcony, but we did walk down the hall several times and could see as they were cleaning the rooms or whatever, we could see these virtual balconies. And I actually talked to several, I was there for a conference. So there were other travel agents on board. So there was lots of professional conversation about the pluses and minuses. And several people actually sheepishly admitted that they came out of the bathroom and went and drew their curtain because of the virtual balcony, because it shows like that real time outside. So they were like, oh, I just got out of the shower. I have to close the curtain because I don't want anybody to see me in my, yes, exactly.
No, right. I never close the curtain.
It's actually a wall. I mean, there's nothing there. There's absolutely no reason to close your curtain, but that's how realistic it can be, that virtual balcony. So that's pretty cool. I mean, you think about a floor to ceiling TV screen and you think, oh, I'll be able to tell it's TV, but it obviously was, enough.
So could they turn it off if they don't want to see it? Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you don't want to sleep. It's, it's LED lights, so you wouldn't want that lighting up your room. Yeah. But it sort of covers the whole no light in an interior stateroom as well. So I don't know if I would have loved staying in it and still smaller, stateroom, but you do at least get some
You don't get
impression.
The fresh air.
But yes, you get the impression of fresh air.
Okay. So fresh air.
Yes. And then RFID technology, they gave us bracelets. Not too dissimilar from another company's magic bracelets that would open your door and control your room key and all that. We still had to have our CPAS cards to get on and off.
I actually found that the bands, or whatever you want to call them.
C-bands, or what they call
C-bands.
Them.
C-bands. It gave you less incentive to carry around your card, which could be problematic because the base ones they gave you had these little base tabs, like a kind of like a cheap little tab, not like a watch band, but it's a plastic. You're working around your wrist to try to get it to work, and it's easy to lose them. And so if you didn't have your card with you, you're like, all right, what am I gonna do? And plus, since you didn't have your card all the time, it's easy to misplace that, and you're not. I in other cruises where the card was kind of everything, you knew where that card was at all times, and now you didn't really have that urgency to do it, so it could be. Especially the kids.
Yeah, so I was going to say, do the kids have them too?
Yeah.
I think my daughter went through three CPAS cards.
Until she got the one with the actual clasp on it.
Yeah, we asked for one that has like a watch buckle on it instead of the other ones are like Fitbit buckles. I can post pictures in the show notes. Mm-hmm. They're like these, if you fasten them all really well, they'll stay on, but not if you're a kid.
Yeah.
So. What could you do with them? Could you charge with them or charge things with them?
Yep.
It's the same as...
Yep.
Yeah, it basically was everything that you would normally have on your card.
Yep.
Except getting on and off the ship.
Well, you can scan them to get on and off the ship, but they like you having your CPAS card because it also has your name on it. The thing is, I don't know why they require that. There must be some reason, but because your picture comes
have
up.
It.
When you, yeah, your picture comes up when you go through it. So, we actually, I think my daughter had lost her CPAS card end.
No, it was our son.
Oh, it was our son. And so they said, you have to have it to get off the ship. And we're like, can we just scan our
bands? That was a lie.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, there you go. Have a nice day.
Get off. don't ever come back. What'd you say?
Maybe they were worried about people losing the bracelets off the ship and not being able to get back on.
Yeah, that could be. That could, and you still had to have your picture ID, like in Nassau, you know, you had to have the picture ID to get back through customs, But, you know, we actually, in Nassau, we got off the ship and only went to the pier and saw thunder and lightning and went, oh, we're going to get back on the ship now. So we didn't actually go out into Nassau, so we just walked right back on with, you know, just our C-bands.
So tell me about how your kids liked the ship. What did they like?
So this is why Chris is here, because I was working. I was at a conference, so he got to do all the fun stuff.
It wasn't all
funny. They actually forgot she was on the ship. Oh, Mom, there you are.
So go ahead and tell us how old your kids are. I know how old your kids are.
Well, yeah. we had our eldest turned 11 on the ship itself, so she's 11 now, and our youngest is 9.
Okay.
And which was nice because they were both in the same kids club bracket. It was like a, what was it, 8 to 11. The kids had a blast. They loved it. There's lots of activities for them. And they really like the kids club. And this is from kids who have been in many of the different kids clubs on different lines.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, our daughter is at a delicate age where she thinks she's a teenager. And, so she's very sensitive about how she's treated. And I know when we were on the Disney ship, the age breakdown was a little different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she was at the very upper end of one of the younger groups and she didn't care for that at all. So she likes this breakdown, I guess, for whatever reason.
Well, yeah, cause it sounds like they're not with the really small kids.
That was her main thing. Yeah. She didn't want to be with little kids.
And when they were with the really little kids, the counselors still sort of treated them as older kids.
Like helpers?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she appreciated that.
Yeah.
Because that was her main complaint in past cruises. Is she didn't want to be treated like a little kid.
But they didn't just do the kids club. Talk about some of the other things they did.
Oh, because man.
They're adventurous, right?
They are. We actually spent the majority of our time when they weren't in the kids club, we spent a lot of time on the sports deck, which was deck 15 aft, right above Windjammer. And that is, it's like a multi-purpose floor that I think the day we got there, they had to set up for roller skating. And so my daughter's a big roller skater, and so she went out there and was having a blast. But they had different activities every day. So they had, like, indoor soccer and basketball. They had the roller skating. They had bumper cars. They had, like, all these bumper cars set up on the side. They brought them out. It's pretty cool. The I think the big highlight for the kids was something they never thought about doing before is they set up a circus trapeze. So they split off half of the floor and had these big inflatable cushions about – maybe 7 or 8 feet tall, and they had a ladder up, and they had a circus trapeze going, and they had to go through a simple routine where they swung out, and they get their knees up on the bar, and then they get their hands back up on the bar and get back, and they drop down. So it was very cool. My daughter did it like 4 times. My son, the last day before, finally had the courage to do it. Plenty of people.
First time he looked at the ladder, he's like,
nope. he looked straight up that ladder. He's like, God, no. There is a weight limit there. It's a 220-pound weight limit.
That's not just kids.
There are plenty of adults who did it. Plenty of adults who did it. Not as many adults or kids were able to actually successfully complete said actions. You know, a lot of times they'd go, all right, try to get your knees up. And one more time. And swing it out. All right, good job. So it was an adventure for everybody. But on that same area, it's pretty neat. They've got a lot of the arcade is right next to the Sportsplex, and there's sort of a second tier to it that circles around where you've got an Xbox lounge and foosball and ping pong, that sort of thing. So it's a pretty cool little area. We were there a lot, and they had plenty of activities going on.
And of course, all Royal Caribbean ships have the rock wall. They have that as well.
Yeah, that's right outside mm-hmm. the same deck. The sports deck is 15. It's on the port side next to the Big Bear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no, starboard side.
What were their favorite activities? I'm sorry.
Favorite activities. I think my daughter is the real athletic adventurous one. She loved the rock climbing. She loved the trapeze. And then there's the iFly, the indoor skydiving.
Yeah. I flew, y'all.
I want to see pictures of this because.
We have a few pictures.
This could be our podcast picture.
Actually, the podcast picture will probably be of the iFly, but, we couldn't take pictures because all four of us went at the same time.
Right. So the I don't know if you've been in one of these before, but mm-mm. It's like it's a cylinder.
Right.
And so the people fly in the center cylinder, but there's a chamber outside of it that everyone is sitting in so they can take their turn. So you couldn't actually bring any cameras in that chamber.
So even while we were waiting, yeah, you couldn't pass the camera back.
You have to be outside the chamber in order to take pictures. So we were all the ones saying
that's when you need to have like a grandma. Right.
That's when you need to have friends. Yeah, we had no friends.
My mom would be the one outside taking all the pictures.
Yeah. But it's right on the back of the ship too, which is cool. Yeah. It's, yeah.
So how idea are you outside? You're outside.
Okay. You're outside. You're on a deck, and then you go into this column.
Right, so, the chamber.
Yeah, you're actually overlooking the flow rider, which is overlooking the back of the ship.
Yeah.
So now, when you say you all did it at the same time, though, but not like you had to go one at a time. Right?
Yeah, no, so it's not that big. Hands. It's about 6 feet across, maybe. No, it's a little bit bigger than maybe eight.
Yeah.
It's not very big. I mean, the guy who's running it is in there helping you.
Yeah.
Giving you hand signals and everything, but it's tall, really tall. It's probably 30 feet tall, but it's only about 6 to 8 feet across. And that's the main cylinder you're flying, and then of course you have the chamber around it, which is another foot or two, basically the benches where people are sitting and waiting to take their turn.
Yeah. So how long does it take to get, like, is it always crowded? Is it easy to get on? Yeah.
You sign up for times. Okay. And then, I want to say each of our flights was 1 minute.
Yeah.
So there's a video at the beginning that they show you that to instruct you, and then they give you some more instructions on how the hand signals work. And I was terrified. I'm at the top of the weight limit. I'm not even going to pretend. I was right at the top. In fact, I wasn't sure I was going to get to go. And they're so nice out there. He's like, "You're fine." I'm like, "Is it safe?" But they turn up the air. You know, I was watching the guy who's controlling it, who's this big tattooed guy who was so nice. He kept telling you to smile, you know. And you can see the guy inside the column, you know, giving them the up or the down, you know, the lighter or the heavier the person was. And so they went way up for me.
They're like, crank it.
She's exaggerating a little bit.
Yeah, they were way up. But,
Were there any other restrictions other than weight? Was there age?
No, I don't know if there was.
Actually, the weirdest, I've never heard this one before. If you have ever dislocated your shoulder, you can't do it. He said it's basically a shoulder dislocating machine. He said you won't dislocate your shoulder if you've never done it, but if you've already done
it. If it's already loose, don't.
He said it'll pop right out.
Oh my God, I used to dislocate my shoulder all the time.
Then you can't do it. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't tell them that. I would still be doing it.
Until the point where you're screaming in pain. I'm totally fine. It's normal like this. Yeah.
I was a child.
Favorite question.
Okay. I thought the food was really good.
I thought the food was good in the dining areas, in specialty restaurants. I wasn't wild about Windjammer. It was okay. I mean, it was kind of, I don't know, it wasn't anything special. There were a couple areas in the Windjammer that were nice. There was one area, the little coffee bar or slash bar, I think they had alcohol there as well, at the very front of the Windjammer. Going forward, and next to it was a place where I think they made fresh bread and cookies. That was cool. The kids loved. Once the kids found
you could
that,
pull cookies right off the
plate. Yeah, I think the kids found that on day five. They're like fresh cookies, and they're there all the time.
Well, you'd know where to find them at least.
Yeah, but the actual food, the Windjammer, I wasn't super wild about. It was good. I mean, it was passable.
Buffet is buffet.
It's buffet, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys do the specialty stuff?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. The Izumi, the sushi place, was really good. My daughter and I went there on her birthday for lunch, and that was great.
We went to Chops for my daughter's birthday.
Yeah, the steakhouse was good, really, really good.
So it's Chops the steak.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Jamie Oliver's Italian. That was just.
Which is family friendly though. Yeah. We found out there. That's actually, they have kids menu. If it's a world renowned award winning kids menu, we learned after the fact that we didn't have the kids menu.
Of course, our reservation was like 8:15, so the kids would have been like, no.
Yeah.
No.
So yeah, evidently bring your kids there. So there you go.
Wow.
We did a chef's table.
Chef's table was excellent. That was really good.
So these
really
are all. Additional charge though, right?
Yes.
And you bought the package?
Yeah. Well, no, there wasn't a package, but there is a discount. So if you do three or more specialty restaurants, then they take, I want to say it's 20% off. Do those discounts after the fact, so you don't see them until on your bill that you get at the end.
And Wonderland was really cool.
Oh, yeah, Wonderland. So that's really unusual restaurant on a ship. It's actually... as close as I've gotten to, that word again, Robin. Molecular gastronomy. The one Robin had to look up for me in another. But yeah, like we had an olive that was like disintegrated and then reformed it into was, some sort of gelatinous.
It was a and super interesting. Yeah, it was, and I don't like olives.
And he didn't like it. Yeah.
It was decent. I mean, I yeah. But a lot of the food was.
Thank you, God, literally in tonight. Yeah. No but, olives.
Well, it was really beautiful because it was all Wonderland themed. So they bring you the menu and it's a blank piece of paper, and then you bring you a little thing of water and a paintbrush,
and you've got a
and the menu appears
with disappearing ink. Yeah,
yeah, cool. It was really.
And cool. The first glass of wine was a certain size, and the second glass of wine was a bigger cup.
It's like, if I order a third one, am I going to get like a goblet? He was like, no, that's the biggest glass we have.
So that was pretty funny, but yeah, no, that was really good. It was a very memorable meal. It was very interesting. Just the, because you didn't order really off the menu. He said, tell me what you like. Tell me if you have any food allergies. And he sort of made the menu for us on the fly and brought us different things. And it was cool.
He did say we could order if we wanted, but he said he would prefer if he could just create.
Yeah, it's boring.
And we're like, bring it.
Do it. Yeah. And the kids were doing that too?
No, they didn't go to there.
Oh, no.
Our youngest is not an adventurous eater. So
but could you, were there kids there? Or was that one you
I didn't
got?
See any. No. I didn't see any.
I don't know if it's restricted, but I wouldn't have brought my kids in there. I mean, yeah. It was very pretty. And my daughter was kind of, because she's such an artist as well, then she really wanted to see it. Mm-hmm. But I don't even know that she would have loved a lot of the food in there. I mean, you know, one of the meals had rocks with it. They were actually fingerling potatoes with like a coating of some sort to make them look like.
So it was like a riverbed. River yeah.
So the food was delicious, but I do think the kids would have been like, am I supposed to eat that?
crunch,
yeah.
Yeah.
So
this was a, interesting itinerary because it was not a 7-night cruise, it was 8 nights. So how was that? The first time I did a 7-night, I loved it.
Yeah.
Going longer, so even going a little bit longer than that.
Most of us at sea, and since there are so many activities on board, the kids and I were completely
so it sounds occupied. Like there's a lot to do, and you want a lot of days.
I mean, listen, we spent a lot of time at the sports deck, like I said, so doing all of that kept us busy. You know, we'd hit trivia every once in a while. There were
we
shows.
Won.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, didn't somebody win Name That Tune?
I won Name That Tune all by myself. It was so funny because after all this working that I was doing, we went to the Kennedy Space Center, when we stopped in Port Canaveral, which was fantastic. And then, we watched there was a SpaceX.
Yeah, the Falcon launch was it 27?
Good timing.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. So we got to, we watched it from the deck of the ship. We hadn't left yet. And it was a little late going off. So I was like, oh, I'm going to miss it. But the kids were in the pool. Mm-hmm. So I went down and I auditioned for Name That Tune and got on stage, and there was nobody in the audience I knew. And I won. Totally took the whole thing. And I got a crown and a cape and people sang and danced for me. And I was like, nobody I know is.
Did you have to sing to win?
No, I didn't have to sing.
Oh, you just had to.
I just had to know the songs. I just had to identify them.
That was the second trivia.
Were they hard or were they like.
Hard for other people.
Yeah, aww. It was all like theater.
He's like, I could take you.
I know. Yeah. I'm wondering how I would do.
It wasn't very alternative. There were a few older songs, and then there were several. I think the reason I won is because I know show tunes really
that's
well.
That's what I'm saying.
A lot of show tunes. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what were all the ports that you went to?
Port Canaveral.
Yeah, and Castaway, not Castaway, Coco Key.
Oops.
Some other key. Coco Key and Nassau.
Yeah.
For all about 30 feet of Nassau that we got.
Yes, before, yeah.
You came out of New Jersey, right?
Yes.
Or,
yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, we sailed right past the statue. In fact, our room was on our cabin was on the right, on the correct side of the ship. So that we could see, the Statue of Liberty from our balcony.
And how was that? Because I hear that is awesome.
It was cool. Yeah. So the kids really thought it was cool. She's very far away, so she's teeny. It took my son quite a while to spot her. I was like, she's right there.
Although to be fair, it took our son.
Did you? Did you guys know that?
Oh yeah, there was like a package or something.
Yeah, it was like evacuated that day.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was gonna say it took our son a while to see it, but to be fair, it also took our son a while to see the rocket blasting off.
Yes.
He's like, where is it? Where is it?
So I'm curious. So this is the Quantum.
Mm-hmm.
And what other is there? Another ship like her? Like, does she have a sister ship or what?
The Anthem is, and she's actually in Europe right now, and then she'll be coming over later this year. And actually, there was a group on board that I'm a big fan of. They're called Mosaic. It's an a cappella group, 5 guys, and they normally do a show in Las Vegas. And they were on board, and they had just gotten off of the Anthem, And they actually made a joke about it in the show. They were like, and if you want to know what it's like, it looks just like this ship. So, yeah.
So those two are the only two that have all those activities that Chris was talking about?
Yes.
That's what's, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is with all those activities, the iFly, which is unique, and then we didn't even talk about the North Star, which is this big ball that goes up into the sky.
Yeah, but there was a wedding on the North Star.
There was.
Was that on your cruise?
No, I think it was the week before, actually. Okay. I could be wrong about
that. There was a wedding on our cruise, but it was on the, it was on Coco Key.
Yeah, I'm sure there might have actually been a couple of others, but, so even with those unique features, these ships are not as big as the Oasis class ships, which is the Allure and the Oasis. Those are like 7,000 passenger ships. These are just 4,000. I mean, they're the size of most normal.
It's a noticeable difference though between those two ships anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've heard that you have to kind of go looking for the ocean when you're on the Allure. You could be in Central Park or, So tell me about the shows. They do some Broadway caliber, do you think?
Or, well, we got to see Chris's favorite. Chris is a huge fan of the Swedish supergroup, ABBA.
Oh my goodness.
And by huge fan, ABBA. I mean, he hates them. So, I forced everybody to go see Mamma Mia and Athena and stuck with me.
My son was not having it. Oh. He was like, I want to go. It's like, fair enough, buddy.
He talked to me about it later though. He said, that Mamma Mia song, that's really catchy. So he's still singing it, even though he didn't stay past intermission. Mamma Mia is the big one. And the anthem actually is going to have We Will Rock You on it. So if you see any commercials for the anthem, they feature that. It's a Queen jukebox musical. So the music of Queen set to, a storyline.
Nice.
So, and then we saw Mosaic, which is, again, one of my favorite groups. Probably wouldn't have mattered to anybody else, but I love them.
They're good.
A ventriloquist on board. And then there's
creepy.
I'm not a big fan. The Lounge 270,
yeah,
is that
270,
what it's called?
I think so. Yeah.
And that's, again, where technology enters into this ship. There's these huge picture windows during the day. So you sit in this lounge, there's like a swing, and it's this beautiful lounge that almost looks like it's outdoors when you're in it. During the day, there's all this plant life around everything. And then at night, they can bring screens over those windows and they become screens.
And they have two different shows. We only saw one of them.
We only saw one of them. And,
what was the name of the one we saw?
I don't know, but it was basically Baz Luhrmann on the sea. It's very,
I'll preface this with the performers were excellent.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had no idea what was going on. It was so bizarre. It was like, Baz Luhrmann themed Cirque du Soleil, but you take out the acrobatics and.
Well, there's a little bit of acrobatics.
You're very much de-emphasizing the acrobatics. Mm-hmm. And there's some sort of dancing and singing going on, and it's just bizarre.
And it's all remixes of modern, like it opened with a remix of Vogue. It's a Baz Luhrmann show. I don't know who directed it.
The performers were excellent. Like I said, don't get me wrong. They were all quite skilled. No clue what was going on.
Yeah.
So, yay, nightlife.
In fact, my son looked at me. He's like, what is happening here? He was completely confused. Looked at me and I'm like, I don't know, buddy. I have no idea.
I will say, if you like Royal Caribbean for ice rinks, there's no ice skating. There's roller skating instead. That's the main thing that's missing from this as opposed to many other Royal Caribbean.
What about like aerial shows?
So there were aerialists in that 270 show,
right?
Definitely.
A few. I don't think anything else. Nothing like on the Allure, the diving deck.
Not that we saw. We might have missed it. I mean, that's the thing too. There's so much going on. So they definitely have places where people can come in from the ceiling. And that was the other thing about 270 is like performers magically appear from everywhere.
The set was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
They had all the people coming in through the floor, through the ceiling. The screens are all independently actuated, and so they have like six screens all moving in concert and splitting up doing their own thing. So that was pretty cool. Just very weird.
I'm sad that it's
artistic
China.
Decisions.
Well, but the anthem is coming.
I was going to say the anthem. You said it was going to be where? Cape Liberty.
Cape Liberty. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's doing the same itinerary that the Quantum was doing. So the thing about sailing out of New Jersey is it is like, it was cold it's the end of April. Mm-hmm. So, it was chilly when we started. And then as we got further south, it was also pretty choppy. The water was, and I don't know how normal that is. We've sailed out of Baltimore before and I don't remember being tossed around like that. Mm-hmm. So I think it was just a little.
That's been sailing way back, I think.
I think both ways actually. When we first start set sail, I was like, I don't feel anything. These must be fantastic stabilizers. I probably should have never said that. Then, then it picked up.
So.
I didn't really notice. I didn't really notice until like the last day or two. That's when I was really, the waters were pretty choppy.
Oh, speaking of alcohol, though, there is the Bionic Bar.
That right, the Bionic Bar is
very
cool.
We have to talk about the Bionic Bar.
Yes.
And I know we're running out of time, but it's two robot arms that, and there's a DJ. And the DJ can control the robot arms to some degree, so they do a little dance routine, so he can sort of say dance, and they'll dance with each other, which is funny from, you know, perspective of arms. But basically, you can either create your own drink, or you can pick from a menu of drinks, and they have all kinds of drinks in there, and you can actually adjust your menu. So if you want, like, a Sex on the Beach, but you don't want as much of this in it, and you want more of that, you can actually use pull bars to fix it, and then you purchase it, and then they make it. So... There's a robot arm. It goes to the ice machine. It goes to the soda machines. And then up on the ceiling are all these bottles of liquor with turn, you know, dispensers on them. And they just mix it.
It was super cool.
It was very cool. So it was all
pretty cool. So you could, like, do your own custom shots.
And yeah. Stuff
like that. And the drinks are laid out on, like, almost like a little conveyor. And you've got to put your badge on it so it knows, okay, you're the person that ordered this. So you can't just...
Grab some of those drinks. But you can order non-alcoholic drinks too. So I could order, you have to be 21 to trigger it, to make it work. But then like I ordered a Shirley Temple for my daughter and then I had to trigger it for her to get it. But yeah, you can do that. Cool. And it's open. It's not just open late at night, but,
anytime.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I didn't go by there in the morning, but I liked it. It was surprisingly not crowded. You know, it was really, I was surprised. And I guess it's when you don't have the bartenders to actually interact with, people don't want to hang out as much. So we would sit there and play games or, you know, play card games or whatever. And, I'd just go up and get a drink whenever I wanted one.
That's cool.
So.
It sounds so cool, but as someone who's a bartender, I don't know, I like the idea of you can't over tip and then get a better pour.
Well, I mean, technically, I guess you could adjust. There were limits on it, but you probably could adjust your shots. I mean, like you could ask for two instead of one. Yeah, so yeah.
Heavier, lighter on the soda.
Yeah.
All right, well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook by searching for Fly Away, or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Robin, Amy, Lindsay, Elizabeth, Chris, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!